The other screen still showed the hegemony formation, the spread-out X of vessels with the Mauler ships clustered around the centre. They were firing off massive bursts of energy and energised particles, which were hammering against the interlocked shields of the defending fleet. Then the Vice-Admiral's countdown reached one, and for a heartbeat there was nothing. An instant of hollow dread, a millisecond of panic. Then the dragon roared. A pillar of force and energy leapt along that channel cleared through the loose formation of vessels and stabbed out towards the oncoming hegemony ships. It was almost too bright to watch, but the visual systems quickly filtered and enhanced. Greg stared open-mouthed as that ferocious torrent smashed into the hegemony vessels, scything through hulls like laser drills through paper, cutting them apart, grinding them up. In fact, those formerly fearsome ships appeared to be dissolving in that annihilating incandescence. And, abruptly, it was gone. Without that immense sunfire spear, all seemed to suddenly plunge into darkness until the visual systems adapted. One screen showed the remnants of the X formation in full retreat, leaving clouds of glowing fragments in their wake. Greg could hear cheers from elsewhere on board, but he couldn't help thinking about the hundreds of Sendrukans who must have experienced a moment or two of searing agony before being sent to their deaths. "They would have surely done the same to us, and without hesitation," he thought. "Disney make me feel any better, though."
"Why have they stopped firing, Lieutenant?"
Vice Admiral Ungassa's face was glaring down at Ash.
"The weapon can only fire continuously for about 50 seconds, Vice Admiral," Ash said. "Then it needs just under 3 minutes to charge."
3 minutes?
Ungassa was incredulous.
"If that's true, then we cannot maintain our current position. They are already preparing the next attacks, and we must not become a sitting duck."
Ash switched his attention to the screen with the long-range scan data and schematics, seemingly taking it all in with a 2-second glance.
"Carriers and launcher platforms," he said, "could be a problem."
"Worse than that, Lieutenant. The Supreme Overcommander is toying with us, advancing another of his 100-piece formations rather than committing his entire force."
Ash grinned.
"Perhaps we should move out to engage with the next wave and unleash the dragon when it's ready."
"Aye, but if it was up to me," Greg said, "I'd find out where the Supreme Thingamy is hiding herself and go after him, full tilt, all guns blazing."
He paused, suddenly aware of Ash and Ungassa's intense stares.
"But that's just me." "Actually," said Ash, "that is a fair summation of the Imbecile Commander's recommendation. My tactical officer proposes a curved trajectory around Darien," Ungassa said. "With the Retributor positioned at our formation's leading flank, it can target that weapon across a wider field. Using short bursts more tightly focused, and watching out for the Supreme Overcommander's flagship, of course."
By now, they had been joined by Admiral Olorevich, the Imbecile First Proposer Conliff, and the Duizhang Kang Lo, who was quick to agree with the Earth Sphere plan. Olorevich was reluctant and had to be convinced, essentially by the possibility of Vox Humana ships being left to fend for themselves. It took just over a minute for all the vessels of the combined fleet to embed the new course data. Then they set off in unison.